So the title of the sermon today, and it could have been many, and I'm sure I preached a similar sermon here at least a few years ago, but it's one of those messages I think that we need to hear again and again to remind us of who God is, who our Lord is. He is our faithful shepherd. Christ the shepherd, our Savior, he who leads us to that food that does indeed strengthen us. Sometimes he leads us to a place where we're not as comfortable, but we know if we truly believe in the providence of God that he's doing that which is most faithful. So today we'll look at the shepherd and the sheep. The first passage I'm reading is out of Matthew 9. It's 35 through 38, and I'm not spending a lot of time on this, but I just thought I'd add this in. And it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in all their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion upon them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest.'" Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you. We thank you that you are the great shepherd. And we thank you that in your providence, you have determined to have us as part of your flock. And so we pray this morning as we look through what your word has to say about the sheep and the shepherd, Lord, that you would help it to be useful to us in our further growth and sanctification, in our walk with you, and indeed in our love for you. Again, we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. It's interesting when we consider that most of the time, most of the world is not even inclined to really care about their salvation, but they still feel the sting of evil and of death. And it should give great joy to our hearts to know that our Lord Jesus is not only the great shepherd of the sheep, but that he has allowed himself even to become the ultimate sacrificial lamb. And that's a lot. And I'm sure that most of you have read a lot about sacrifices in the Bible. And this picture of an innocent, and with Christ, it's clearly an innocent lamb, the ultimate sacrificial lamb. And to remind ourselves that he would die so that we might live, and we might live eternally. And one of the real blessings that I see whenever I look at this, I think that of all the sacrifices that have gone before, and even as we say, you know, there are still churches today that offer sacrifices. The sacrifice is done. It's taken care of. Christ has died on the cross so that his people might live. So at this time, I want to turn, though, to 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. And I'll try not to belabor stuff too much. I know I can get rather lengthy, but and give careful attention as I read through this. I'm reading from this from the ESV. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges eternally. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And by the way, where it says in that last stanza, you were straying, this was a picture of both before salvation and sometimes in our walking with the Lord when we're not walking well, when we are indeed straying like sheep do. The first verse, 21 here, says that you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. And I just preached a message in Phoenix a few weeks ago speaking of this as Christ being our example and the examples that he has left us. But it doesn't stop there. It says, so that you might follow in his steps. This is what Christ is doing for us. He has left us this example. And where we've read this, that he didn't do this. He doesn't revile. He doesn't threaten. Do we live that way? In other words, do we look like we should? Do we look like little Christ-like ones in our lives, in our day-to-day lives? And I'm sure that most of us do at times. Some probably do more times than others. But this is something we need to be considering, something we need to continue to go back to. As my life, am I following the example that Christ has set before me? Not the example that Paul has set, or Peter, or John, but Christ has set before us. Because Christ is our shepherd. So in this last, that last verse, we need to acknowledge that great truth that is found there. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls, or of your souls. And this is the blessing that we have of coming back. And we do, because every time we sin, big sin, little sin, we have to repent. And we're coming back. Because every time we sin, and I say we deliberately sin, we are running away. We're running away. We're like the little sheep. And we'll get into the sheep. Sheep. And we, the sheep of the Lord, are most prone to stray. This is what they, that's why they need a shepherd. They wander off here and there. They don't necessarily, like some herd animals, want to be together all the time. They're all over the place. Now, the crazy thing about the sheep are pretty much defenseless. They have nothing to protect them other than the shepherd. Now, I know some people may know more about sheep than me, and you may correct me on something today, but sheep were kind of not the smartest animals. And I know I've shared this with you before, bordering at times on stupid. And they, as I said, they were most prone to stray, to look, they wanted to look for greener pastures and cleaner waters than that which our Lord had been guiding us to. And we're the same way. We're the same way. We want what we want. I wrote that the other day and I titled it the 5 W's, because that's what it is. And it's very true. We want what we want. Now, at times we may acknowledge that, well, that's not what the Lord would want for us, but we want what we want. Sometimes we would just ignore the Lord altogether. We want to go this way, and then we want to go that way, and most of the time, more than willing to follow, not too bright on our part, sheep, other sheep, or other Christians, who themselves are predisposed to follow their own desires instead of following the shepherd. Again, what did we go back to? Leaving you an example. Oh, I'd rather. And how many times do you find yourself in a situation where you need to make a decision about something? You kind of know which way you should go, but you start asking questions of other people, hoping that these other Christians will agree with where you want to go so they can follow that, rather than follow the Lord. And so that's what we're prone to, because we're still sinners. We're saved sinners, but folks, we are still sinners. So too often we find ourselves just more or less, and this can be a long period or short, wandering around, separated from our shepherd, and not knowing where to go next. Do you ever seek God for, Lord, give me direction. I need to know what you want me to do. And then we want to do what we want to do. Same type thing. We find ourselves wandering around, and we're separate. We separate ourselves. We allow sin to take hold in our lives at times, and then we find ourselves wondering why it is that we are under such great attacks from Satan. We think to ourselves, why has God forsaken me? God has not forsaken you. He's right where he was at. You wandered away. And sometimes, and I'll get into this, the shepherd has to go look for the sheep. We wander away far off from the protection and the shelter that our Lord can give us. Thankfully, the good news, this is the good news. Our Lord really never takes his eye from us. Not for a second. And that's amazing when you think of it, because that applies to all those that are his. And he even has his eyes upon all those who are reprobate. He knows what we're doing. And although he will often allow us to wander and at times even flounder around in the mud until like the sheep screams out with him, bah! Bah! I'm stuck in the mud. We also cry out to our Lord in the same way and that he would forgive us our sins, and that he would direct us back. Now, I know I shared this. I think I shared this with you when I preached another time on sheep. Sheep are pretty much, as I said, not the brightest animals. And when they wander away, and they don't do it because of a direct result of just nasty intent, they fall in the mud. And when a sheep falls in the mud and it has a lot of hair on it, or wool, I'm sorry, it's not hair, they have the wool all over them, they can't get back up. And they will die there unless the shepherd comes and gets them. And this is the case for us too. If it were not for the shepherd, we would die in our sins. And the great relief to us is that he is always there. Christ, our Lord Jesus, our shepherd, our Savior, he is always there waiting upon us at times to come back, and at other times allowing us to see our sin. He'll allow us at times to wallow in it until we really recognize it in our great need for him to work this out in our lives. And it's interesting, again, because the Bible tells us that we need to do some things and the Lord does others. So there's that balance. But we need to do what he has set before us. We need, what did Jesus do? A lot of, he did a lot of praying. Do we do a lot of praying? He did a lot of contemplating upon God's word. Do we do that? He did a lot of helping. He did a lot of wonderful things for people that weren't that wonderful. Do we do that? The good shepherd will be the one that will allow his sheep to put themselves, again, into a certain amount of danger at times, so that they can learn what they must avoid. Now, to be put in danger doesn't mean to fall in sin. He will allow us to be put in dangerous situations at times. And we go, what's going on? Nothing. He's allowing us to learn to trust in him. He's allowing us to learn what we need to avoid in our life. And our Lord sometimes does this for us as well. And what we see is it's life. This is life. And that whole last paragraph is just life. God allows things to take place that we don't like. One of the passages that I really love in relation to this is in Hebrews 30. It's a benediction. 30, 20, and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought you up again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. The part that I like, by equip you with everything good, that you may do his will. And this is what the good shepherd, the great shepherd, does. He cares for his sheep. He takes care of all their needs. He will take care of all their enemies. He will deal with that. And we have to trust him. And we have to trust him more and more. Because sometimes our lives get really crazy. And that's when we have to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but you're God. And I trust you. And we need to learn to live there, because he is the Lamb. And he is the shepherd. And he is the teacher of those sheep that themselves would become under shepherds in home or in the church. And this is the idea of disciple making. And we need this. Again, we're praying for an under shepherd for this congregation. I mean, God is, again, talk about provision. God has provided good and ample preaching most every week. Now, there's been a lot of work going into that. That wasn't just, it just didn't fall in place. But he has provided for us, and he does that. And the one thing that we should keep in mind while looking at this whole idea of this shepherd and considering the duties is that because of our sinfulness, even the best of under-shepherds will still too often be moved by self-interest rather than the good of the flock. So know that, again, it doesn't happen as much as we sometimes think, but it happens. Christ, on the other hand, is never moved by that type of self-interest. This was not a problem for our Lord Jesus. He not only saves us and loves us beyond anything we can understand, he also knows us and he calls us by name. This is John 10. Verses 1 down through 17. I'm going to read quick. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out in and out to find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it back up again. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. That's a whole nother couple of sermons in there. But just the very beginning parts and a few things in here. In verse 3 it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. But when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And this is what the picture I love of the shepherd. I realize sometimes, because I've seen people in Ireland when I was there, they don't always just lead them. Sometimes they have to move them around and herd them a bit. But generally, the shepherd leads them, and they will follow the shepherd, and they will follow the lead sheep. And the lead sheep often has a bell upon it. Again, this is one of the interesting things I know that when I was studying this passage at one point, I was looking at where they kept the sheep. And they kept all the sheep in one big pen in a certain part of town. So all the shepherds would come there with their sheep, and they would put them in different compartments. Well, if one shepherd came to the wrong compartment and started calling the sheep wouldn't come. They wouldn't listen to him because they did not know his voice, and the shepherd would actually call them out by name. So when you went in, the shepherd would start calling his sheep and they would come out. And then he would go before them and the sheep would follow him. Do we follow as we should? I'm asking you, do you follow as he should? Because we do know his voice, and we know what God has to say to us. He said he's given us his beautiful Bible so that we may understand, as Eduardo has said, he revealed to us all that we need to know. All that we need to know. Not all that we want to know. We want to know a whole bunch more. And sometimes people pursue this a little more than they should, but the fact is, he has provided this for us. And he has given us under shepherds. And many of them are good under shepherds. And they care for the sheep. We always have to remember, we're not following the under shepherd. We're following the great shepherd. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We know this to be true. And we know that he can be the shepherd of anyone who will call upon him, who will repent. And we should know that we desire. I'm an under-shepherd, and I desire to do it well. Not just preaching, but the caring and the counseling, the praying, the uplifting and the encouragement when you can at times. But we always have to point it back to our Lord, to that great shepherd, because we're better than the hired hands, but we're not as good as Jesus. And Jesus is who we need to follow. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus knows everyone that he has called, that he is calling, and that he will ever call. And it's interesting that he knows their names. He has given them names. And he laid down his life for the sheep. Again, the most well-known passage regarding the Lord is the Great Shepherd. We sang it today. Psalm 23. He was a shepherd who became a king. And he liked to write songs about the Lord that he loved. There are a great number of important things to look at when considering Jesus as our great shepherd. Given thought to this analogy of his as the shepherd of us as sheep and some of the many things we can understand of what Jesus had to say about the sheep. And by the way, just to remind you, because I think it's worth noting, every time you start talking about sheep in the Bible, you have to remind people that the people of that day knew about sheep. They knew about shepherds. And again, just a little fact, shepherds, sad to say, from the different time of David on, they became some of the most unliked. They were like right above the tax collectors, just above the tax collectors. And people weren't looking to become shepherds. And yet that's exactly what Christ has called us that we should do. Jesus said in Luke 15, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbor, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost.'" You know the parable of the lost sheep. But this is the picture that we see. This is the heart of the Lord. Isaiah 40:11, it says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms." This is the picture I love. "And carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." By the way, I just want to take you back. Remember I told you about the pig or the sheep that falls in the mud and that strays away too often? Now, my understanding when I read this, and I've had debate over it with some people, is that when the sheep kept doing this too often, then the shepherd would take and he would break his leg and he would carry. Then he would mend it, but then he had to carry that lamb until it healed. And that lamb knew the shepherd so much more and intimately at that point, and knew the voice and knew the smell, that he would follow closely and he would never wander away again. This is one of the things I read about shepherds. But I think it's true in our lives too, as Christians, that we stray. And sometimes there's a cost to straying. But it's not because God is punishing us. It's because God is drawing us even closer. We say, "Make me to do thy will." And that's exactly what he does. He makes us to do his will. He makes us want to do his will. He makes us want to love him more and more. Psalm 28, another psalm that speaks to this. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is my strength. Is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." And that's a lovely picture that we have. I'm going to go back to John 10 in closing, continuation. And so it says, so the Jews, in verse 24, John 10:24, so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, told them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." That simple. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In closing today, my question for you, do you hear his voice? Do you hear his voice regularly? And are you following his lead? If you are, good, that's wonderful. If you're not, repent. Start listening more carefully to his voice and follow him. Because he says it here, I give them eternal life. What can anybody or anything else give you that is better than eternal life? And not only I give them eternal life, but he gives us that eternal life where it is him that is caring in us. It is him that is caring for us. And I love these words. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's the great shepherd. Again, remember the stories of David as a shepherd killing wild beasts. And other shepherds had to do that too. They had to defend their flock at the risk of their own life. And this is what the Lord did, not only at the risk of his own life, but knowing that his life had to be laid up for them on the cross so that their sins might be forgiven. Well, folks, I encourage you, follow him. Listen for his voice. When you don't hear him, cry out to him. Look at your life and see, have I wandered where I shouldn't be? And if you have wandered where you shouldn't be, then I encourage you to return. And for any of you who are here who may not know the Lord, today is as good a day as any to recognize your sin, to recognize that you are in a world full of wolves that would destroy you. Only Jesus can give you salvation. Repent and be saved. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we again thank you. We thank you that you have given your Son, our Lord Jesus, not only to be our Savior and our God, but that he is the great shepherd. That he himself says, I am the door. You must come through. He is the way and the truth and the light. Oh, Father, help us to see what a great Savior we have. And let us do as we should and follow his example. Try to mirror his actions in our life as we deal with similar situations at times that he had to deal with. Help us to be the type of Christian, again, that people would come up and say, there's something different about you. Oh, Lord, we want to be different than this world. It is too easily for us to get entangled in too many affairs that are really none of our business. Help us instead to look to those things that are most important and to look to our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.